Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 234 for the week of October 9th, 2023. Before we start, a reminder you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. So often when there's a federal holiday, we keep to our normal recording schedule that cuts everything off on Monday and therefore omits a discussion of diesel prices, since that data in a holiday week does not come out until Tuesday. However, this week we decided to delay because of a couple of situations. First, last week, crude prices fell sharply. More important, though, we wanted to know what immediate effect the war in the Middle East might have on crude prices. Also, simply because of the timing of economic indicators, this week's podcast was already fairly short, and it would have been shorter still without the discussion of petroleum prices. Let's start with the national average price of diesel, which dropped 9.5 cents to $4.49.8 cents a gallon during the week ended October 9th. That is the largest single-week decrease in 5 months. With such a large drop, not surprisingly, the average price fell in all regions. Those decreases ranged from 3 cents a gallon in New England to 14 cents a gallon in the Gulf Coast region. The real question, though, is not what diesel prices did in the latest week, but what is happening and will happen with crude prices. West Texas Intermediate had been trading mostly above $90 a barrel since mid-September, but late last week, crude fell nearly $7 to below $83 by the end of the week. Then, of course, came the Hamas attack on Israel, and the question became, what might that do to the price of crude? Because historically, military action in the Middle East has led to spikes in crude prices, even though the specific area involved is not really a petroleum-producing or exporting region. So far, it hasn't had much effect. On Monday, crude did jump about $3.60 a barrel to more than $86 a barrel, but on October 10th, it eased to just below $86. Of course, the situation is still developing, and if there's any widening of the conflict, we certainly could see a big impact on energy prices. Okay, let's talk about the spot market for truck freight during the week ended October 6th, which is week 40. Spot rates for van equipment likely will remain above levels seen in the spring, but a drop in flatbed rates in the truck stop system pulled the week below, pulled the total broker posted spot rate down to its lowest level since July 2020. Spot rates were down week over week for all equipment types, although the decline in dry van, as we'll talk about, was very small. Flatbed saw the largest drop since mid-July in rates. Although weak, spot rates are still moving largely according to seasonal expectations and not seeing any further weakness by and large. Okay, let's talk rates. The total rate decreased about 3.5 cents. That was after increasing about 2.5 cents during the previous week. They're about 11% below the same week last year and nearly 5% below the five-year average. Dry van spot rates barely moved. They eased a mere 0.2 cents after declining about 3 cents during the prior week. Rates were almost 9% below the same week last year and the five-year average. Dry van spot rates are still about 15 cents higher than they were during the recent low, which was the week before the International Road Check inspection event back in May. Refrigerated spot rates eased 1.5 cents after declining 2.5 cents during the previous week. Rates were nearly 11% below the same week last year, almost 7% below the five-year average. refrigerator rates are still about 22 cents higher than the recent low back in April. And flatbed spot rates fell nearly 4.5 cents after rising nearly 3.5 cents during the previous week. Those rates are nearly 15% below the same 2022 week and about 3.5% below the five-year average. Flatbed spot rates are still slightly higher than they were during a couple of weeks back in August, but they have not clearly bottomed out. Okay, let's talk volume. Total load activity declined 6.3% after rising nearly 8% during the prior week. Volume was nearly 18% below the same week last year and almost 25% below the five-year average. Spot volume declined in all regions, although the decrease in the South Central region was minuscule. Dry van loads fell 11.5% after rising more than 8% in the prior week. Loads were down in all regions. Volume was more than 21% below the same week last year and 25% below the five-year average. Refrigerated loads declined 3.1% after rising more than 1% during the prior week. Those loads were up in the South Central and the Mountain Central regions, but down elsewhere. Volume was nearly 29% below the same week last year and 30% below the five-year average for the week. Flatbed loads declined 1.7% after rising more than 7% in the previous week. Loads were up in the Northeast and South Central region, but down elsewhere. Volume was 13% below the same week last year and 30% below the five-year average. Okay, let's wrap up the weekly data with a look at mortgage rates, which once again rose to the highest level since December 2000. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage rose to 7.49%, according to Freddie Mac, which attributed the ongoing increases principally to a climbing 10-year Treasury yield, which is a key benchmark. The rest of the podcast is about the labor market. We'll start with job openings for August. Countering a generally downward trend this year, the number of unfilled job positions at the end of August were 7.7% higher, seasonally adjusted, than at the end of July, according to preliminary Bureau of Labor Statistics data. The increase is the largest in a single month since July of 2021. The 9.6 million job openings is more than 37% higher than in February 2000, but down sharply from the record 12 million back in March of last year. Okay, we also got the employment situation report for September, so let's dig into that. Payroll employment in September jumped by 336,000 jobs, seasonally adjusted, according to preliminary estimates from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The increase is the largest since January, and the BLS revised preliminary July and August estimates significantly higher than the preliminary ones. With the revisions and the latest data, job growth is considerably stronger than it appeared previously. The only real outlier is the increase of just 105,000 jobs back in June. Other top-level metrics in employment were unchanged. The unemployment rate held at 3.8%. The labor participation rate held at 62.8%. The strongest employment gains occurred in sectors that have been hit hardest during the pandemic. That's leisure and hospitality, government, and private education and health services. We combine all those together, that accounted for 170,000 new jobs. Meanwhile, the only sector to lose jobs month over month was information, and that includes the film and television industry that has been hit by work stoppages. That sector likely will see some gains in October as the writer's strike is now over. However, the actor's strike continues, so the increase in jobs might not be all that dramatic. Transportation equipment accounted for more than 10,000 of the 17,000 new jobs in manufacturing. But it is important to recognize that the BLS data collection occurs during the week that includes the 12th of the month, and it looks like it might not have captured the relatively small work stoppages at that point by the United Auto Workers. It occurred basically at the end of that week. UAW has since expanded its strikes, affecting Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis, and those direct and indirect effects on the auto industry employment will show up in payroll jobs data for October. Trade, transportation, and utilities added 45,000 jobs, most of which came in retail and wholesale trade. Transportation and warehousing added 8,600 jobs. Warehousing and storage shed 3,800 jobs, and BLS revised July and August figures lower. Although couriers and messengers, or what we call parcel and local delivery, added just 1,200 jobs, preliminary estimates for July and August were adjusted sharply higher. The largest factor in transportation and warehousing's job gain was growth in for-hire trucking following the huge drop that occurred in August due to Yellow Corporation's demise. On a seasonally adjusted basis, the trucking industry in September recovered more than a third of the payroll jobs lost due to Yellow's sudden shutdown of operations. For-hire trucking added 8,800 jobs seasonally adjusted in September after losing a downwardly revised 25,200 in August. The preliminary BLS estimate for August had been a drop of 36,700. By the way, the unadjusted data for September shows a 1,300 job decrease for trucking following a 30,900 job plunge in August. BLS data on individual sectors of for-hire trucking lags by a month, so we only just learned exactly how the August plunge in jobs affected specific segments of the industry. Obviously, LTL took the biggest hit by far, plunging 26,700 jobs, or 10.1%, seasonally adjusted. That puts LTL employment in August at just over 4,000 jobs above the May 2020 level, which was the depth of the lockdown period. However, I need to remind you again, as I did a moment ago, that the data collection was done in the middle of the month, so it basically captured all of the Yellow shutdown, but did not capture very much of the employment gains in the other LTL carriers and possibly other carriers as well that occurred, presumably, as a lot of those carriers went to fish for talent. And as we talked about in a recent podcast, the number of pre-employment queries conducted in August was a record level. So we can presume that the total for August through the entire month was not as big of a drop for LTL. We just don't know yet what the scope of that was. General freight truckload shed 2,500 jobs, or 0.5% in August. Given the sudden loss of capacity in LTL due to Yellow's failure and declining employment in truckload recently, September's 8,800 job gain likely was mostly in LTL. In fact, LTL potentially saw an even larger gain that was offset by job losses in other trucking segments. General freight truckload employment has fallen in the past 3 months, for which we have data, but it is still very high historically. One factor in that almost certainly is the absorption of drivers associated with failed carriers, which we discussed in the latest podcast. Okay, let's recap some key takeaways for the week. Diesel prices fell sharply. Spot market rates overall fell to their lowest level since July of 2020. Mortgage rates rose again to a nearly 23-year high. Job openings rose sharply in August. The U.S. added 336,000 payroll jobs in September, and for-hire trucking added 8,800 payroll jobs. Next week, we will review inflation at the consumer and producer levels and at sales and inventories in the wholesale sector. Plus, we'll recap the week in diesel prices and the spot market as usual. That's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 234 for the week of October 9th, 2023. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and railcar. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.